I don't know who initiated the adventure that I'm going to be talking about, but the first record I have in relation to it is a flight in 1982, in November the 13th, where I was pilot in command with the Blanik L-13, 48028. And I had, as a pupil, J. Levi, who had not been flying for a long time. For about 20 years, he hadn't been flying a glider. And we did four flights together. I have a note on the first flight was a demonstration flight, an instruction on tow to 3,000 on a cold day with very limited sun. We did stalls and an approach, and then with Levi, with Jay, take off and flight on tow, etc. There were two 15-minute flights in which he was definitely the student. The first glider flights after 20 years. Somewhat hairy takeoff, that's what it says. But that was the beginning of my association with J. Levi. Then I began preparation for an attempt to get a diamond altitude badge with the Soaring Society, meaning you have to have, I've forgotten what the gain is, something like a 20,000 foot gain. Since one was going to go to a high altitude, it was necessary to get some experience with what happens if one is short of oxygen. And so I went to St. Luke's Hospital in Milwaukee, and I have from them a certificate of completion. This is to certify that O. Smithies has successfully completed an altitude decompression test to 30,000 feet in the altitude chamber at St. Luke's Hospital. The above named subject successfully removed his oxygen mask at altitude for a period of 90 seconds in order to acquaint himself with the altitude induced hypoxia, so that you learn what happens if you're short of oxygen. It's a very interesting and well known that it's rather like getting drunk, and so a typical thing would be to ask you to count down in threes from 100. So it would be 100, 97, 94, 91, 88, 85, etc., which you can do quite easily or relatively easily normally. But if you're if you're short of oxygen, you very quickly find you can't get very far, and you begin to laugh about it, and as if you, I just can't do it, and that's typical of hypoxia, that a person gets rather happy, rather like a drunk, and that was part of that acclimatization, or getting ready for this. Test, and testing also my recording instrument, which was a Riploggle recorder, which shows the hyperbaric chamber starting at sea level and going up to the equivalent of 30,000 feet, or nearly up to 30,000 feet. For quite some time, so the trace shows this. So we've got the beginning of preparation for the flight for the altitude, and then I have some tests in 866. The Cessna 172, just testing the recording of the barograph, 866 exploration, it's called. And then we come to the day of the test of the flight for the Diamond altitude. We went to Black Forest Gliderport, and not far from Denver, and began preparation for the flight. Jay Levi was also with us. Also was Ed Adib, who was a much more experienced glider pilot than Jay, and a conservative flyer. Jay was very far from conservative, and in fact occasionally did some things which would be considered somewhat debatably safe, including landing in a parking lot when he from a glider. But anyway, we went to Black Forest and waited for the winds to develop suitably to generate a wave. The wave forms as the wind comes over the high altitude, so that on January 23rd, after waiting some time and eating rather splendidly, as a result of Jay Levy's inclination to buy expensive food and make fancy meals, but he did introduce me to a cheese which I still very much enjoy. The cheese is Port Salut, S-A-L-U-T, and I still find it a very enjoyable cheese. One of the things Jay gave to me was a love of that cheese. But anyway, we had to wait quite a time. With the weather was poor and there was snow, and it was not particularly pleasant. On January 23rd, there was a good wind, and so I went in the Schweitzer 232, which had already been checked out on. So I'm now dual again in the Schweitzer November 2477 whiskey, dual, and up to look for the wave. And there was a strong rotor, as recorded there, and enough that we got the tow rope was broken. My notes say wave check flight through strong rotor, in quotation mark. I hit the canopy once, but not excessive, with the help of the dive rakes. Tow release, we didn't break the tow rope. Tow release at 14,000 feet, and back with a notch trial on the way. The notch is a way of recording on the barograph that you're off the tow, where the glider is dived and then pulled out of a dive in a way that couldn't possibly be done on tow. Means diving and pulling out of a dive. Well, there's a story about that which I'll tell at some other time, of another individual at Black Forest who notched the barograph so severely that the aircraft wings were bent, and his seat was completely collapsed, and the builders of Schweitzer calculated that he'd pulled 12 G's in that notching of the barograph. Of course, the aircraft was totally useless afterwards, but it survived, and he survived amazingly. Anyway, this was notching the barograph for the rotor, that preparation for the real thing! So the actual flight itself began on was on later the same day, January 23rd, and lasted 2 hours and 30 minutes. I have a note here, 204, off toe, two notch. But I notched the barograph once and felt that it wasn't really a good indication, and notched the barograph again a little deeper, but none of this 12G business. And the barograph record is very clear. The barograph was calibrated, and the high point was 30,800 feet, with a gain, with the low at the bottom of the second notch was at 14,000 feet. So 14,000 feet up to 30,800, a gain of 16,800, which was enough to achieve a diamond. But it was much more interesting than that rather prosaic description is, because I found that as I climbed in the wave, which was a very enjoyable, the wave is, once you've gone through the rotor, the wave itself is beautifully smooth. However, the canopy began to frost up, and I found that I was feeling dizzy, somewhat of a difficult situation, alone in at high altitude in a glider. But the oxygen system had what was called a blinker, that you could see that you were getting oxygen, because as you inhaled, the blinker would open, and then it would close again when you exhaled, and so it would go open, close, open, close. And you could then see that you were getting oxygen, and you could also determine your rate of respiration. So one of the possibilities was that I was dizzy because I was hyperventilating and getting rid of CO2 too much. But I was breathing at a normal rate. There was no indication of hyperventilation. And so I began to wonder, well, what could it be? And then I thought, well, it's because I'm frosted up. The canopy is frosted up, and I'm keeping my wings level by looking out of a little space on the left canopy that is not frosted, and on the right side of the canopy. So I'm moving my head from left to right to keep the wings level, and I'm just moving my head too quickly, that I'm making myself dizzy by just moving my head rapidly. So I just said to myself, well, slow down with your head movement. And when I did that, I ceased to be dizzy. But I'm still there now, frosted up. I can't see out except through the side of the canopy. And eventually the wave peters out, and although I stayed at altitude for quite a long time, it was clear that I couldn't get any higher. And so now, how to go home? Well, I can't see out very well, and so I thought, well, I'll use the compass, and I'll fly back using the compass and get down to altitude where it will thaw. But I looked at the compass and found that the compass was frozen, and so I couldn't use the compass anymore for direction. And then I realized that I could tell from the sun, although I can't see the sun, I can see from the light on the canopy when I'm facing the sun and when I'm not facing the sun. So knowing the time of day, I know approximately which direction to fly in order to get back towards home. So using the light of the sun, I was able to fly back home, and they, of course, they, at lower altitude, the frost disappeared, and the flight was continued to a successful conclusion. So my notes convey a little bit of that. Two notches and climbed in moderate wave to about 28,000, then slowly to 30,400 on the altimeter. Actually, 30,800 actual by the barograph, and frosting over fairly extensively with some of loss of orientation. Tried for about 30 minutes to stay up, but had to quit, but recovered over the Air Force Academy and descended okay on the ground. So it was an exciting day, and one that I remember very vividly. Great adventure.